So we have finally reached to the panel discussion. I hope for the past 2 days almost all of your questions or queries would have got answered by now. But still in some corner of our mind, there can be a question or query which needs more clarification. So we have a beautiful, eminent panelist today. To begin with, I would like to invite Brother Sachin onto the stage. Welcome, Brother. Brother Alan, welcome to the stage. Sister Ranjana and Brother Sasha. Just a gentle reminder from what Sister Mohini shared with us the other day. It just touched my heart when she said, become something new, don't become a boring person, become something creative and innovative every day. So that touched my heart and I was checking myself. So what is it that creativity or newness I can bring in every day? So to begin with, let us start with some new ideas, some new thoughts, some creative feelings within us, and then we start with the panel discussion. 1 minute of silence.
जो तुझसे लगन लगाए वो तुझ में ही खो जाए जो तुझसे लगन लगाए वो तुझ में ही खो जाए जो तुझसे योग लगाए वो परमानंद
वेरी मच जैसे कि हम सुने सुबह को तो हम सब वी हैव अवर ओन आइडेंटिटी परमानेंट आइडेंटिटी दैट वी आर ऑल द एंटिटी द सोल्स बट विद दिस बॉडी वी हैव अ डिफरेंट आइडेंटिटी फॉर आर सेल्स सो वी हैव अवर ओन वे ऑफ डूइंग थिंग्स आवर ओन प्रोफेशन आवर ओन कंट्री So I would request our panelists to give their introduction briefly. To begin with, I would request Sister Ranjana to introduce herself.
Om Shanti. So my name is Sister Ranjana, and I come from an IT background. I did my engineering in electronics and then worked in software development for a few years. However, for the last 10 years, I have been rendering my services in a dedicated way to the Brahma Kumaris, and I serve at Om Shanti Retreat Center, which is also a very beautiful retreat center based in Gurgaon, near Delhi, NCR. That's where I come from. And my job at the retreat center involves coordinating events, very much managing events similar to these. And of course, I've had the opportunity to interact. So though I don't do any more of software development or IT-related work as such directly, but I've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of young professionals, IT professionals, in many, many companies in these last 10 years. So that's about me. Thank you.
Yes, Brother Sasha.
Om Shanti. Sasha is actually a Russian name. I am originally from Russia. I studied physics, but at some point I left from Russia to Israel, and there I also changed my career. I was working in IT in some Israeli IT companies for about 7 years, and then I left for UK, where I also work as IT consultant in architecture field, as a project delivery lead, in different other roles, sometimes as solution architect, sometimes as enterprise architect, and sometimes I also work with in a team which has people who also study Raja Yoga, sometimes only in with people who don't know anything about Raja Yoga, so I have some field of comparison. Thank you.
Om Shanti. My name is Alan. I'm born in the Netherlands, Holland, and I grew up in a small country called Suriname. I always wonder how many people have heard of Suriname. I'm surprised, quite a few. So Suriname is a small country in South America. It was Dutch colony, so that's where I grew up. And when I finished high school, I went back to the Netherlands and studied computer science there. And after I finished studying, I started my career basically in IT. I started out as a developer/consultant, and I worked for a company for 4 years, and then basically I started my own company. And in addition to my own company, I started with some friends two other companies, which have run for quite some time, I think 4 or 5 years. And then I left the Netherlands and moved to the UK. So I'm now based in London, still working in IT, not so much more in development, much more in consultancy, a little bit like Sasha, architecture, solution architect, but also giving trainings on for those techies amongst us, big data technologies. So that is my career up till now. Thank you.
Om Shanti. I think I introduced myself to everybody yesterday, so I won't say too many things. Just briefly, so I started my IT career in 1981. Started off with using the IBM 8086 processor. Can you imagine? Used to have 1 megabyte hard disk. And look, today, all of you have got smartphones, which probably has got a lot more capacity. So it's interesting how technology has evolved. But for me, my life, my spiritual life and my professional life took place at the same time. And so it was a really wonderful experience of journey through that for self-development. And just to come back to the present day, both Alan and Sasha, actually, we are all working together in a company we created to bring spirituality into our professions and work in a very different way to traditional companies. And also there is Jill here who's sitting in the front. So we have about 12, 14 people working with us, all very spiritually inclined. And so that's our sort of next phase of learning and growth as to how we implement all of those things practically in a company. So hopefully we can share more as we go through the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Talking about creativity and innovation, I would like to ask Brother Sasha, question on innovation and creativity have become the cornerstone for success. So is it possible to harness the creative potential of an individual, increase effectiveness at work with the practice of spirituality? How do we make this happen?
To be honest, this is actually a very interesting question to me myself, because I always try to see how I can make maximum breakthrough in any area where I work, and how also the team in which I work can be really innovative, fast, and successful in a way. Because nowadays innovation is everything. You can't really do breakthrough business or breakthrough solutions without really being innovative. And I was observing myself, how my mind works when I try to solve any problem, and I found that there are maybe two main things that that affect it. One is motivation, which also connected with concentration, and second is freedom, because I think the main enemy of innovation is, one is we can't concentrate on what we want to concentrate, and second, we cannot go out of the box. I'm talking about myself, I'm not talking about everyone here. I'm sure you are masters going out of the box. For myself, I was observing, and it's all basically, and it's not only about me, it's also about atmosphere around me, because you can't be innovative just alone. You need to really, everyone around you, to create an atmosphere of innovation and help to move forward. And one thing I noticed that when I come from here, from Matovan, it all works much better. And I was trying to understand why. And I think it's one thing is that Raja Yoga meditation really helps us to concentrate easier. That's what I think all of you experienced maybe already, but if not, you will experience when you come back. It really helps to concentrate much easier and make your mind detached. But the second part of it, being out of the box, being not entangled, I think it's like a purity of the mind. Because okay, innovation requires us to be very open and read and educate ourselves and interact with people, but not to be constrained by anyone's ideas, but by your own old ideas, and even by your own feelings, because someone may give you a great idea, but because you think it's his idea, it's not my idea, you won't accept it. Right? So it's like a purity of the mind, being detached from strings which pull us, usually. So I think these two things which I believe Raja Yoga meditation can really help with, being concentrated and motivate your mind, be a master of motivation of your mind, and second is, in a way, a pure and unentangled attitude to yourself, to your ideas, and to ideas of others.
Thank you very much. Just a small clarification. You have been in knowledge for a long time, and what has kept you motivating for such a long time?
Well, different things. indeed, I came in knowledge in Russia. It was 91. It's not as old as other people around me, but but still it's a long time for me. It's more than half of my life. And at different times, different things really motivated me in different areas, because first time, to be honest, when I came in contact with knowledge, I was really excited. I thought this is what I was searching so much, and it was like more bhakti than understanding or experience. But then over time, I really started understanding. Okay, it helps me because there was a time when I was a little bit apart and a little bit away, and I start feeling that actually the meaning of my life is getting lost. I have no clue why I'm living. So it brought me back to knowledge. And I think for our success, we do need to see far and just beyond the surroundings, and that really helps to understand that who you are and what actually is the global picture around you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'd like to ask the next question to Brother Sachin. So we understand spirituality means progress, finding meaning and progress in our endeavor. So does it just include job, family, or there are other aspects that can make it more meaningful?
I think to me, spirituality is something which has become part of my life. You know, obviously we've organized this conference as Spirituality in IT, so that we get a specific audience that can come and join and share with us. But I do believe basically it's something that becomes a way of living, a way of behaving, a way of actually dealing with yourself and everybody around you. So because true spirituality means basically that you learn how to become completely genuine, you know, internally and externally. sometimes we, you know, have one face inside, the other face outside. And so spirituality to me is to make those the same, in a sense that the thoughts and the words and the actions we have need to be fully aligned. You know, we can have the highest ideas in terms of what we want to do, but until it becomes practical, you know, it's just rhetoric in a sense. Nobody will want to believe it. So that's why, practically speaking, I think it should encompass all of your life. And actually it does. Because as soon as you start practicing it, and if you think about it, who is it that's actually doing and living the life? I think you've now all had the lesson about the soul and the body. So this body, I've taken this birth, you know, this body at some stage I will leave. But it's the soul, I the soul, that I'm working through the body. So when I change my attitude, my consciousness, my feelings, my way of interacting with people, it's going to translate through the physical body. And so as I, the individual, am living and playing different roles, it should encompass, and it does encompass, every aspect of your life.
So let us just take some time out. As Sachin Bhai said, half a minute, let us create that space. Watch yourself and reflect. Can I let go the previous attitude? Come to the present. Come to the awareness. I am the soul, this body. Let me come to the consciousness of being rather than doing. Thank you. A small experience. We move on to the next question. Brother Alan, it's a common problem that we see in many of the organizations and many of the workplaces. People try to take credit for others' work, interfere unnecessarily, or create hate, dislike, and soon things go out of control. How do we handle this situation?
I think one of the biggest illusions we often have, and I had the same illusion at some point, is that we can change people. Change people by telling them how they should act, how they should behave, how they should do their work. And I would briefly like to share a personal experience I had. I was working on a project, and this was quite high profile project with a very strong deadline, no options for extension. And I had a team with which I was working, and my team was dependent on another team, a team of system administrators. And so we had to do our work, but our work was also dependent on this team of system administrators. And there were only a few of them, only I think three or four of them, and they had a whole load of work on their shoulders. To be honest, it was way too much for them to handle. But my team also had deadlines. And so every day I would go and meet these administrators and say, can you please get this done for me, because otherwise we cannot progress. And my team was assigned one particular system administrator. So every day I would go to him to ask what the progress was, because otherwise my team could not continue. And at some point, he really got fed up with me, that I was constantly bugging him. And so what he did at some point, he sent an email out and sent it to everyone in both the teams and including his manager, and sort of kind of very, very negatively talking about me. And saying quite a bit of negative things. But in this whole process, I always remained very respectful. And in a sense, in the background, I knew that there was a reason for him to be like that, because he had too much work on his shoulder. And I always remained very respectful, and I replied in a very positive way. One of the things that I decided to do during this whole process is never try to be affected by his feelings or by his words, and always try to remain positive. And that was my main intention in this whole relationship. And what I did, I talked to his manager, and I told his manager that, look, if this work isn't progressing, then I cannot progress. So his manager kind of pushed him to do the work for me, which made him actually even more angry, because obviously he felt I went kind of behind his back. And so he finally did the work. And what I did once he finished the work, I sent out an email to everybody, including his boss, and I'm very, very thoroughly thanking him for the excellent work that he has done. Yeah, and his boss even sent an email, are you happy with the work the team has done? And I replied again to everybody, including him, says, yes, I am very content with the work that you have done. I got my work done, and it took a little bit longer than expected, but ultimately we got our work done in time. And what happened is that the day after I sent out that email thanking him and basically also saying that he did a good job, ultimately he did the work what needed to be done, and then he came back and he sent the email and he apologized for his behavior. And he said, I'm sorry, I was under stress, I just could not handle the amount of work, and my behavior was irresponsible, and I just wanted to apologize. And so what happened, since then, anything I asked, he just cooperated. He was not being difficult anymore, and the relationship sort of softened. The point I'm trying to make here is that I wasn't trying to kind of change him or change his behavior. If I am coming from this positive space, from this spiritual foundation, that creates a protection for me. And all I need to do is be a little bit patient, and then the return will come. And then whatever obstacles or people that are being difficult or negative, that will change. And so ultimately, without me trying to change them or behave in different way, that behavior automatically changes. And it's because the spiritual intentions behind any interaction that I have with anyone in my work environment.
Thank you very much. Anybody would like to ask a question on these lines? Please come.
Okay, sorry, I'll go first. My question to the entire panelists is, I would assume organization of soul as well. Organizations will have its own soul. And, sorry?
So you said organization?
Will have its own soul, I guess.
Will have its own soul.
Yeah, so I'm assuming. I want a clarification of that.
Yes.
And especially in our industry, if you look at it, we are dealing with a soul which will say more for less. It's perhaps only in our industry where we would want more for less, free if possible. everywhere else you need to pay more. We want everything done fast, so we bring in something called as an agile methodology. And then as an industry, we are under the influence of SMAC. Given all this, and given what I heard all of today, Mr. Shivani, she would say that I can't change that soul, so I need to do what that soul wants. How does one deal with this in a business sense, and especially if I'm dealing with a soul? Did it make sense?
So if I can just paraphrase what you're saying, I think are you saying that an organization has a soul, which in a sense is probably a reflection of their values, their principles, how they conduct business, and how they treat their people? It essentially just defines their behavior.
Sure.
Is that what you're asking? Saying?
Yeah. And then if it's unreasonable, then what do I do, given that I'm dealing with the soul?
Given that you are a? You're also being in a soul.
Yeah.
Okay. Sasha, you want to say something? Go on.
I think it's actually a very interesting idea comparing organization as a living being. But I think that probably what you took today from Shivani Ben's lecture is that you cannot change as a soul, but you can change yourself, and then everyone around you will change automatically. Because organization is not something without you. Organization is something with you, right? And people around you depend on what you are doing. Like if you start beating everyone in the corridor, I don't think your organization will remain the same for a long time. There will be probably some waves going and some unrest. So we do influence organization in which we work, and probably for the big organization maybe influence is less depending on our position. For the small organization the influence is more, but influence is there. And what we often compare spirituality is like a light that leads another light. That if you spread something, if you change yourself, then slowly things around you start changing as well. Maybe 1%, maybe 10%, maybe 100%, depends on circumstances. But things cannot be the same after you changed.
I mean, just to add to that, in a sense, what I believe fundamentally is that I actually want to live my life based on values, a certain set of values, which actually are very core to me and are important to me. And so, of course, with those types of values, I want to be associated with people who have similar value systems. And of course, sometimes where the tension appears is that you may have one very different set of values, and the organization has something completely different, right? A lot of organizations, for sake of argument, tend to be very profit-orientated. You know, as you said, more for less. We just want people to be profitable. We want to have the bottom line. And yes, they'll say externally, we look after our people and we want to look after our clients. But that's the key driver. And anything that impacts it, they will actually modify it around it. Whereas if you tend to be another type of person with a different value system, where you're more about fairness, equality, justice, you want to make sure people are being looked after first, people come first, money comes second, then you've got two different value-based systems. Now then you have to decide what you do. Either you actually come back and say, actually I'd rather find a value system which is more comparable to what I want, because I spend a huge amount of time at work, and so I'd rather be more comfortable with that. And that's not to say that's negative and you're moving away from a problem. It's just that you may actually be more successful in that environment, whereas the other one is more constraining. So I think that's just another perspective on, you know, how one can overcome it.
I'm Arvind Desai. My question is to Brother Shashi. You mentioned about building up a different kind of an organization. Can you briefly describe a few points, exactly what kind of differences compared to the usual IT organizations that we come across?
So I think what we are trying to do is to bring true spirituality into the way we work. And that starts with the way we are treating each other within the company. And, you know, so we've got a very flat system in a sense. And it's all about trying to actually make sure that each individual is developing. So give them a bit of space, give them time around it, make sure basically that people aren't completely constrained. So give them a little bit of space in which they can develop themselves. So one is actually just trying to set up the right environment in terms of trying to make sure each individual feels they're valued. It's a very basic thing. You know, appreciate what each person is doing. You've got somebody working in your team, in your organization. They are there for a reason. Now, it's up to you and the management team to try and bring the best out of the individual. So you have to try and give them that support to bring the best out. And that's what I mean by it being led spiritually, rather than somebody imposing tight deadlines and putting financial pressures that you won't get your pay rise if you don't do a certain thing. On the other side, basically, it's about how we interact with clients and how we want clients to actually feel how we've treated them. And so we place client satisfaction at a very high level, but in a different perspective. We want the client to be happy with every interaction they're having with us, not just with the final deliverable. We want to be completely transparent with the client. If we can't do something, we'll say to the client, we can't do it. We are not the best people at doing this. You know, in fact, you should go and find somebody else. So not to mislead people on that basis. And then also just very basic things. You know, it's like people want to take leave. You know, people will normally come back and say, you've got 3 weeks or 4 weeks of leave. Well, why not just open it up and say to people, you're responsible individuals, take as much leave as you want. Just make sure you get your work done and your team can be managing things without you. So it's trying to broaden that whole system to give people a bit of space. And we can share a bit more, but that's the essence of it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Om Shanti. I'm Narendra. And my question is to the whole panel, not to any individual, okay? See, we often say we require a good professional skills while we working at a workplace. So I'm a little bit confused, not a little bit, I am very much confused regarding the spirituality required at workplace and the professional skills. So what is the difference between the professional skills and spirituality that is required? So please, anyone can elaborate what is the difference and comparison.
I think professional skills speaks for itself. You have a very specific technical knowledge. So if you're a developer, you have knowledge of programming. You know Java, you know .NET, some programming knowledge. And it's very visible. It is very tangible. Spiritual, on the other hand, is a little bit more subtle. And that, I think, makes it also a little bit more difficult. It's not immediately visible. And so applying your spiritual skills often require two things from my perspective. Actually, more than two things, but three things. Your spiritual knowledge, that you need to have some spiritual knowledge in order to imbibe spirituality in your life. Secondly, you need to have patience. With your technical knowledge or professional skills, you can immediately see the progress, right? You see, okay, I'm learning this, and then I get my certification, and it's immediately visible, very, very tangible. With spiritual skills, it's not like that. You can't always immediately put a pin, a point on it. And the thing is, it requires patience, and the other thing, observations. If you don't observe your life whilst you apply spirituality in your life, then you will not see the changes because it's so subtle. And so you need to have that capability to observe yourself over a long period of time and then see the effect that it has on yourself, but also observe the changes in your environment, in your relationships with people, and if you remain patient, then you will see that there is some... you will see the effect that you're applying your spiritual skills in your daily life, you will see the effect that it has in your life. So I'm not sure if I answered the question, but hopefully that helped.
I actually wanted to play a devil advocate, because in my experience, spiritual practices may be actually of a damage and of a great benefit. It all depends how deep you actually went to the root of the spirituality. Because when I, to be honest, came in Raja Yoga, as I say, it was very much bhakti-oriented attitude. I was very spiritual, I was doing meditation more than required. I was very punctual in class. But I completely dismissed my studies, physics studies, right? I was a student. And it was very damaging to me because I lost the interest. And I couldn't understand spirituality deep enough to understand that actually it is not something which is separate from my life, which is completely separate from my life, but it is something that can add to my current life. And it was very damaging for me. So, but the longer I've been in the environment, the longer I kind of, when the bhakti time finished and the understanding time came, I understood that actually I did everything wrong, and actually I should have been adding to what I was doing in my low kick or professional life, you can say, rather than subtracting. And now, more or less, we all learned how to contribute, like, because your spiritual life can contribute to your professional skills by being more concentrated, by being more focused, by creating a less stressful environment, by not wasting your time here and there, and not subtracting from it.
I think it's a very, very good question. I just want to say one thing, is that professional skills are actually well understood in the world today, and your professional skills will be very focused in solving specific types of problems. Right? That's how people will come back and say, you're a professional in these areas. Spiritual skills actually are even not undermining, they're actually underpinning that. And spiritual skills will allow you to solve any problem that comes in your life. Whereas professional skills will focus you into your area of expertise. That's what I would say is a big difference according to my experience.
My name is Amit. Om Shanti. I would like to ask a question. Like, I'm working in IT environment, and I've seen that most of the people are running through deadlines. They're working around 9 to 12 hours, and somehow they are losing the meanings in their life. I have seen people around me, and I have come to experience that when you experience spirituality, you actually connect to yourself. And it has happened to me in a day. When I wake up in the morning, and before I go to the work, I'm really connected to myself. But as soon as I work, in the night when I come, I lose this sense of myself. Means I'm not connected with myself, and it is very difficult for me to connect again. So, you know, and this happens again every day, and I think why it happens to me. So, you being in spirituality, you know, how we can find the satisfaction in life, and what has changed in your life to be in spirituality? Because you are also from the IT background, I believe.
Brother Jill, can you share your experience on this?
Actually I'm the software developer here, so I'm not in management or anything like that. And basically this year I had exactly this experience of working for 6 months for every week 90 hours. Actually I did that, so I know what it is. And I also know that if you work for such a for such long hours, it really starts to affect you quite a lot. But actually, I also think a lot about stress, because how can you define the stress level of a person? I think there are two things. One is you have really the stress factors, like, for example, long working hours. Sometimes you can have difficult relationships. Sometimes you can have health problems. Sometimes the weather can also affect you. So there are so many things that you can consider to be a stress factor, actually. And typically what people think is the more stress factors you have in your life, the more stressed you are. I think this is partially correct and partially incorrect, because I think the stress level of a person is actually a kind of a division, and that will explain what this is. Basically, one thing you have, of course, are the stress factors. The more you have, theoretically, the more stress you have. But then there is also your capability of dealing with stress. And this varies a lot according to people. So basically, the stress level of a person is actually a division of the stress factors you have and your capability of coping with stress. And sometimes what happens is that you have stress factors in life and you cannot just avoid them. It's impossible. For example, you are in a company which has very tight deadlines. You are in a project that has very tight deadlines. You have very difficult colleagues. You cannot run away from them right now. Or you have a very severe or difficult family situation. Sometimes this is really tough to change. But there is one thing you can change, and that is our capability of dealing with stress. And I think in the Brahma Kumaris, we focus more on this side of things. Basically, we try to increase your capability of dealing with stress. So that because the stress levels, like what I explained, is like a division of the stress factors and your capability of coping with stress, so that basically your stress level, actually, even though the stress factors are very high, actually this whole stress level actually goes down. And I think in the Brahma Kumaris, we focus on improving your capability of dealing with stress. That is more our approach, to be honest. And there are a couple of things in this area. How can you actually improve your capability of dealing with stress? I think one of the things is the recognition of the power of thought. And also, we have a lot to do with meditation. And meditation is all about creating a better mental life, improving the quality of your thinking. And I think this is one of the major things, actually, that we have to learn, to recognize, and to practice, is, meditation. If you basically are able to change your thoughts, to change the thoughts you have during your day, if you are really capable of changing negative thought flows, which actually act like snowballs, so basically, typically negative thoughts, they start small and they start increasing. And the more these negative thoughts they increase, the higher your stress level will actually be. So one of the things we actually try to learn here in Raja Yoga is to change the thought culture. We try to be able to stop negative thoughts. We try to polarize them into positive thoughts. So what actually, the essence of what I'm actually saying is, through meditation and through a change in your culture of thinking, you can actually improve your capability of coping with stress. And I think meditation and Raja Yoga is really about that. So it is possible for you to have a hell of a life where people would get a heart attack if they would live your life for 1 week. But because you kind of increase your power of thinking, you improved your capability of dealing with stress in such a level through a positive thinking culture, that, yeah, this is really what we want to achieve. So actually you can really have a very stressful, in Lockheed terms or in superficial terms, you can have a very stressful life, but you can actually be a very happy person too. And that is really possible. Yeah. So it is... I'm trying to give you hope. I know that some of you guys, if you are coders or something like that, you can have crazy deadlines, crazy people around you, but it's still possible to be very happy.
I'd just like to add to what he said, because your question was so specific. I remember when I was working, that's when I came in contact with the Brahma Kumaris, and I would go through the same experience, that morning main utke meditation kiya, kuch achhi baatein sune, to, you know, the journey to office would be great, and I would feel that I'm so connected and the day is going to go very well, and then I would get engrossed in doing all of that, and by the time I came back, like what you said, it would be totally disconnected. So one practice that really helped me very much was something that we call as traffic control. So traffic control is during the day, beech-beech mein, ek-do ghante mein, ek minute ka time nikal karke, thoda sa hum apne, jaise bhai ne bola, to check your thoughts, but ek minute ke liye baith kar hum apne mind ko observe kare aur koi na koi ek positive sankalp apne aap ko de karke us ek minute ke liye apne aap ko us positive thought mein sthit kare. You know, just for a minute I experience myself to be a pure peaceful being, or I experience myself to be detached from the influence of what is going on outside, some good positive thought. And if I continue to do this say 4-5 times within the whole day, take 1 minute off after every couple of hours and keep doing it, then by the end of the day, I have that link. Otherwise, it's a big separation. And as you keep doing this practice, slowly you believe, and I mean, you'll start to realize that we are not physical beings having some occasional spiritual experiences once in a while, but it's the other way around. We're actually spiritual beings, and we've come down here to play our parts. You know, so after a while, staying connected to yourself becomes natural, and in that connection, you do everything. Like in shuru mein, this traffic control is a good practice that helps.
Sorry, this discussion sort of triggered a little bit of old memories. So I want to briefly share an experience I had, which is sort of similar to what the sister was explaining. So when I started this spiritual path very, very early on, I was living in the Netherlands and I was working in Belgium, which is the neighbor country. And it's like an hour's drive from my place to work, more than an hour actually. And in the morning I would come to class from the Brahma Kumaris. I would go to class, and then we have our spiritual sustenance in the morning, and then after that I would drive for more than an hour to work. And what I would do is, within that hour, I would drive in total silence. I would not turn on the radio, no sound. I would just drive, and I would love that time. It was just a wonderful time. Now, I know many people don't like traffic, but I would sit in the traffic jam. I wouldn't mind, because it was time to myself. And I would do that for an hour. And I was working for a big pharmaceutical company, and they were having budget cuts. So in my team, there was a lot of stress, and people were trying to hold on to their jobs. And there was a very grim atmosphere in the team. And if I would come into my office, then people would already be arguing, and you could feel the tension in the room. And it was really, really not a nice place to work. So when I started this practice, I would drive for an hour to work. I was always the last one entering the room, because it was such a long distance for me. And what I would do is, before I enter my office, we had an office and there was like 7 or 8 of us in that one office, I would stand still in the door. Yeah, just before entering, I would stand still for just a few seconds, 2, 3, 4 seconds maybe, and I would stabilize myself, and I would say to myself that I am not going to be influenced by this negative atmosphere. I am going to contribute in a positive way to this atmosphere, rather than being influenced Yeah, and I would stabilize myself. I would see all my team members as family members, and then I would enter the room and I would start my work. And in the beginning, people would not even notice when I would enter the room. After maybe 2-3 weeks, what I noticed when I was very religious in this. I would do this every single day. Then what I noticed, if I entered the room, people would become quiet. After 2-3 weeks, they started greeting me. After 4 weeks, my manager called me. He said, "Alan, I want to speak to you in private." And I thought, oh gosh, it's my time to go. It's my time to go, and my time here is over. I said, sure, let's speak. So he took me apart, and we sat down together, and he said to me, "Alan, I want to thank you." And I'm like, "You want to thank me for what? What have I done?" And he said, "I don't know what it is, but something has changed in the last few weeks, and you're having a very, very positive influence on the team and on the atmosphere in the team. And I just felt I just wanted to thank you for that." And so, when this happened, I sort of felt, yes, this is the right path, for me, and that we can make a difference.
I just want to say one thing about stress. Stress is not always a bad thing. The reason I'm saying that actually is because you will start to learn more about yourself and what are some of the limitations within you currently, and see that as an opportunity to overcome them. So it's not necessarily always a negative thing, because actually fundamentally it moves you to the next level of development. And just to share one other thing, like you, well, I've been in IT 30 years. Ever since I started in IT, it's exactly as you described it. Minimum 12-hour days, maybe 13, 14-hour days. It's not changed for me in 33 years, frankly. What keeps me going, just to add to what Ranjana was saying, is learn how to feed your mind with good things in the morning. If you can meditate for 5, 10 minutes in the morning, do that. Feed your mind with good things. Throughout the day then, try and remember those good things. At night, sit in silence for 5 minutes, look at your whole routine, learn from anything you need to learn. Be open with yourself. You made a mistake somewhere, somebody else made a mistake, forgive them. You made a mistake, forgive yourself, and clear everything that happened in the day. Don't allow something from one day to go into the next day. Now, I know it's a challenge, but if you continue to do that, over time you'll learn how to do it. So then, one bad cycle in a day, finish it. Next day, start on the good cycle. Otherwise, it becomes a very vicious cycle. So those are some of the tips and techniques which can also help you.
Thank you.
I think there's a few more questions.
Just another...
I think so, because I'm still here after 33 years. But tell me, what's your question? Tell me. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So maybe I. Yes, that's right. But let me clarify something.
Practically possible.
Yes. But let me clarify what you're asking. I'm talking about what's happened in the day, the emotions, the feelings. Maybe the bad feelings, maybe the guilty feelings, you know, maybe critical feelings that you had for someone else. I'm saying that baggage, at the end of the day, clear it out. Empty the mind. I'm not talking about finishing all the activities that you need to do in your entire life in one day. I'm talking about not carrying those negative feelings into the next day.
Again, repeating my question, trying to do that, is that practically possible?
It is possible, but it's a journey.
Yeah.
So to give you an example, there used to be a time when a situation used to occur, it used to take me days to get over it. The same situation, I was then able to overcome it within minutes. But situations in life are changing all the time. So the technique you develop of merging, finishing something off, needs to be developed gradually, so that as the situation that comes in front of you gets more intense, you're able to have that power to merge it more quickly. Ultimately, where we want to be is the situation's happened, you merge it within a second. You learn from it, you have that wisdom, it's finished. It's a practice. It does not happen overnight.
I agree. Situations tend to mold you, tend to make you more stronger, tend to bring the best out of you, and you tend to become more stronger by the day.
Yes.
I agree. I agree to that. I'm not denying the fact. What I'm asking is, practically speaking, does that happen? Taking the answer from you, it will take time.
It happens, but I'm saying it takes time. Where you want to be, what is the ideal scenario where you want to be? A situation has happened, right? Typically, that situation will go around your mind, maybe for days and weeks and some for probably months and years.
Perfectly.
That's right. A cycle, isn't it? So we have to learn the art of actually merging it and getting to a stage where actually you can finish a situation within seconds. It's happened, you learned, finished, move on. Now, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but I'm saying that's the aspiration, that's where we want to get to. Because in Raja Yoga, when we talk about becoming the master over yourself, that's what we are talking about. That mastery over your thoughts, your feelings and emotions. And not the other way around, where the thought and feeling overwhelms you and you lose control of your own self-being.
So basically, trying to get detached, cutting off. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. So look at it. See the situation. First of all, learn from it. Is there something you have to learn? Acknowledge the learning from it.
Yeah, obviously.
And then finish it, whether it's good or bad. But learn from it, so you don't make the same thing the next day.
Okay,
Sasha, you want to say something?
I just wanted to mention that don't take our word for it. Talk to people around you. See what experience they had, because none of us are 100% perfect, and we can say that we can, you know, be always spiritual. In every evening we will be completely detached. But you check with people's experience, and you will find that actually many have good progress on it, and we can share, and other people can also share. Just talk to people around you who practice Raja Yoga.
I always take it in that manner. Putting everything together makes it 100%. That's how I take it.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Premchand. Before I ask my question, I would like to explain two situations of somebody I killed. May I speak in Hindi if it is comfortable for? The first पहला situation ये है कि एक बंदा जिसके पास spiritual language knowledge बहुत ही कम है, but उसके पास professional skills, not only Java, not only .NET, professional skills करने का मतलब ये है कि वो अपने टीम को इतनी अच्छी तरीके से हैंडल कर सकता है, जिससे चाहे जो काम करवा सकता है, और वो कंपनी के लिए बहुत ही फायदेमंद है, मतलब कि वो कंपनी को बहुत ही नेक्स्ट लेवल पे ले जाने के लिए अपने एम्प्लॉयज को किसी भी तरह से एक्सप्लॉइट करके, किसी भी तरह से काम करवा के वो कंपनी को प्रॉफिट देता है. पहले दो साल तक उसके पास स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज बहुत ही कम है और वो कंपनी के लिए बहुत ही प्रॉफिटेबल है. कंपनी के मैनेजर्स उसे बहुत ही ज्यादा हाइक देते हैं, बहुत ही ज्यादा सब कुछ करते हैं, मैनेजर से सीनियर मैनेजर, वाइस प्रेसिडेंट, सब कुछ बना देते हैं. ये पहला सिचुएशन था. दूसरा सिचुएशन, एक बंदा जिसके पास प्रोफेशनल स्किल्स हैं, जस्ट ओनली .NET जावा, बट जस्ट बिकॉज ऑफ कि उसके पास स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज है, वो ये नहीं कर पाता जिस तरह से पहले सिचुएशन वाला बंदा कर रहा था. अपने बंदों को एक्सप्लॉइट नहीं कर सकता, किसी से झूठ नहीं बोल सकता, किसी से जबरदस्ती काम नहीं करा सकता. इस वजह से कंपनी उसे निकालने के लिए तैयार है. तो क्या हमें इस सिचुएशन में स्पिरिचुअल थिंग्स को छोड़ देना चाहिए? क्या यह हमारे लिए जस्ट बिकॉज ऑफ की हानिकारक है? क्या हमें नहीं मानना चाहिए इन सब चीजों को?
Let me summarize for my colleagues because they don't understand Hindi. I think it's basically given two scenarios of one individual, very strong professionally, give him any job, he gets it done, very competent, very profitable for the company, and just fantastic, but not spiritual. not very spiritual. Second person actually is more spiritual, but actually professionally is not very competent, does not seem to be delivering value to the client or the company, and his boss wants to get rid of him. And so I think the question he's asking is, I mean, he exploits people. Who the spiritual person exploits people? Oh. Or the first one exploits. He's not getting
actually,
the work done.
Actually, this is a real example. One of my colleagues in HCL got earlier in next in earlier month, earlier cycle, she got 10% hike, and this year she got only 1%, just because of she is trying to be more spiritual.
I think it's a very interesting story, but and I'm sure it's real. The only I think I can say is that maybe there is something not quite right in the spiritual approach this person is using, because it should be the other way around. True spirituality enhances your performance, your capacity, your capability, your relationships, your general well-being in your own life. And of course, true spirituality also means that where you do your work is of a high standard. People are happy with you. They want to keep you, in fact, for a long, long time. They don't want to lose you. So I think, without knowing the specifics, I would come back and say basically that, you know, that person probably needs to reflect. And I guess if that person is spiritual, they ought to be reflecting on their performance in any case. Because true spirituality also means that you get a sense of how other people are feeling about you. They shouldn't necessarily have to tell you.
Yeah,
through words.
Whatever you are saying is theoretically, is a very nice way to say these kind of things, this kind of moral values will help you to live a very, another life. But practically, when you work for a company, the company looks only for benefits.
Only for
benefits. They are they calculate in dollars. They calculate in rupees. They are not going to calculate in moral values, whatever you have.
No, that's absolutely perfect. I mean, first of all, 33 years of experience, so it's not theoretical. I used to work for Logica, I used to work for Deloitte, I used to work for Anderson, I was a director of managed multi-million pound programs and projects. So it's not theoretical. This is speaking from experience. So that's the first thing I want to say to you. But what I'm also saying basically is that true spirituality will enhance your value, and you will do the right things, and yes, you should be more successful in your projects. It will add to the bottom line. And adding to the bottom line based on the right principle is not wrong. However, we have a lot of companies these days working in an exploitative way, charging clients, overcharging clients, not charging them on the right basis, and that's where I think the moral value equation comes into it. And that's the line we have to draw. You know, that is not acceptable to me, frankly, as a spiritual person.
Actually, in IT field, in every company, it's not about HCL only. If you take it at work, TCS, anything, IBM. When it comes to India, I don't know what it is out of India, but when it operates in India, there are so many managers, there are so many big management things. So what they try to do is, they try to play a politics with employees. They try to mold you with his dollar value.
Yeah.
They do not calculate on your, even your professional skills, what you have.
Yeah.
They calculate how many dollars earned for you, for them.
Yeah, I understood. What I would actually would like to add to what Brother Sachin was saying is that, for instance, this person you're saying is exploiting, or people see dollars. And what you will typically see is that in these situations, these people will be very productive, but it will not last. Yeah. If you keep exploiting people, you can only exploit until your resources are depleted. People will stop want to cooperate with you. People will stop want to work with you. And it will be very, very short-lived. And so in a short time, it will be very productive, and we will make a lot of money, but it will not last. If your work ethics are based on values, then you will see, okay, it will not immediately convert into dollars, but it will last longer, and it's like a bit of a diesel, no? It will take time, but in the end, in the long run, you will get more benefit rather than just a quick fix, and yes, I earned that much money, and then it's done.
Yeah, just to add to that, we need to challenge this belief system. You will need to question yourself that what makes you think that if somebody is spiritually empowered, they are not professionally compatible. That's a big belief system that we'll need to ask, question and challenge, because they said that yes, being spiritually empowered enhances your professional skills, and you may be thrown out of a company. You might be a spiritual person, but if you're not professionally very good, that's fine. You might get thrown out of the company. That is okay. But that does not mean that because you were spiritual, you couldn't perform. It was just that it was a lack from your end, like Shashin very clearly said that maybe there's a lack of understanding of the correct approach to spirituality. So even if I am, basically the truth is, whether you agree it or whether you recognize it or not, we are all spiritual beings. Spirituality is not separate from who we are. We are spirits, and hence we are all spiritual beings. It's just that some of us have understood it, and we try to live life from that space of truth, of who we really are. While most of us are trying to be someone else, just to be somebody else and to, you know, get a name out in the world. And what we are trying to say here is, when I start to live life from that space of truth, from who I really am, then I recognize my potential, my specialities better. I'm able to understand my skills better. I'm able to understand what I am good at. And I don't really see things in relativity to others, you know. So otherwise, normally my attention would be based on saying that I need to be better than him. And so all my attention and my thoughts would be, how can I get better than this person? That is what we call as competition. When I become spiritually mature and I understand who I am, I have nothing to do with him, because we are both unique. Nobody is better than anybody. And my attention and energy is now focused on myself. I look at myself, I see what skills I have, and I see if I have a capacity to perform better, like Shivani Ben very beautifully explained about capacities. If I know I have the capacity to do well, then I will just work on sharpening my skills, enhancing my skills, and increasing my capacity. So each time I'm only competing with my own self. So you know that whole comparison mode of being better than someone else, that is anyway not there. So spiritual empowerment, like the brothers rightly put it, makes me professionally more competent, because it also gives me the clarity to look at myself and see where is my energy going and why is it that I'm not able to perform.
Okay, so, sorry, my question was, do we need to have a spiritual skills rather than having the professional skills? I'm not talking about the Java and .NET skills. Professional skills means the political skills. As you know that, there are so many political things is going around with you. You are not alone to live in...
Yeah, so let me try to answer it. I think it actually depends on point of view. So do you talk, because every situation has different point of views. One is the point of view of individual who is doing the work. One is the point of view of the company who wants to get a profit. And this point of views are not have to match, right? Because not always the culture of the person matches the culture of the company. And it doesn't mean he needs to leave it, leave the company. But my benefit working for the company may be different from the benefit of the company for which I'm working, right? Unless it's my own company. So it's all depending from how you look. If you want to look at your own life, what do you want to have? A very high grade, a lot of money, but being cursed by everyone around you? Or do you want to have a stable mind, enough salary to be, and good attitude around you, and being satisfied spiritually? And I believe that if you have enough professional skills, human skills, and kind of self-awareness and innovation, you'll probably be able to progress even in such environment. But maybe not, because if company values are completely different, you may be barely surviving, or you may be better looking at a new position in another company. Right?
Thank you.
So everyone's point of view is different, right?
No. It's okay. So we are running out of time. Thank you very much. Thanks for your indulgence, and I thank the panelists. So now with 2 minutes of meditation, let us end this session. So I request you to sit straight, relax. Observe your mind. Questions come and go. Let me pick one thought. I am the empowered being. There is so much of clarity within me. Deep within me lies the power to judge, power to discern. As I exhibit these powers, I slowly start to harness my inner potential. This clarity brings more power within me. Let us sustain the clarity and power within us throughout the day. Om Shanti. Thank you very much.